Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots, off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, good save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the... Boy, oh boy, do we have a lot to sink our teeth into over the next 2 hours in the National Hockey League. Game two last night, the Florida Panthers take a 2-0 series lead over the Edmonton Oilers, and they look pretty dominant in doing so. We'll talk about game two, the hockey, the fights, the extracurriculars. Though we didn't expect it would be this case, we did get the WWE on the ice yesterday in Sunrise, and we'll try to dig through all of that. We'll also open up the text line 702-876-1340, the text line 702-876-1340. Do you believe the NHL Department of Player Safety should have suspended Leon Draisaitl for his hit on Alexander Barkov last night? We're going to get to some of your reaction on the text line as it pertains to that question. Specifically, we're also going to talk about a travesty in the world of professional sports in terms of a ban of the greatest athlete of his generation. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on as well. And then, great observations. I thought you were going to play the drop.
Great observation.
Fantastic. Great observations. We'll kick off hour number two, as well as one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. But there's a lot to unpack in terms of Game 2 Stanley Cup Final. The Edmonton Oilers finally scored a goal. That's big. That's huge. That's, you know, noteworthy. However, they only scored one goal over two games in Sunrise, none of which came from a forward. It was Matthias Ekholm, and it wasn't even 5-on-5. It was a 4-on-4 goal. Chris Chapman, I know yesterday in your great observations, you were grasping at straws. You were trying to find literally anything that you could sink your teeth into as to why you believed the Oilers were going to be okay. I just want to check in with you right now. Do you believe the Oilers are going to be okay in this series?
No. No, I don't.
No.
And here's why. They needed, like, Florida needed to match the intensity of the Oilers, right? Because generally the team that loses game one is going to come out and play very desperate in game two. Because we know the numbers of teams that go down 2-0 in a Stanley Cup final. The odds are really, really not good. I think it's like 91%. So sure, that the team that goes up 2-0 ends up winning the series. But it's not even that they're down 2-0. It's that they have scored one goal in two games. And Evan Rodriguez right now has more points than Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl combined. He has more goals than they have points. And Evan Rodriguez, well, listen, yeah, I like Evan Rodriguez.
They've only scored one goal, Chapman, yes, of course.
But Evan Rodriguez is a third-line player. Like, he's not supposed to outscore those two guys. So
what you're telling me is depth is important?
Depth is very important.
Matters.
And listen, I like Evan Rodriguez. I know he was Jack Eichel's line mate in college. They played together in Buffalo. I was a big fan. I wanted them to sign, the Golden Knights to sign him 2 years ago when he left Pittsburgh. So, like, I'm an Evan Rodriguez cheerleader. Like, I'm a fan. But he's not supposed to outscore McDavid and Draisaitl combined through two games. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a problem if you're Edmonton. But the bigger problem is Florida shut them down last night. Like,
yeah.
From the third period of game one on, Florida has dominated this series. Like, you could make the case that the Oilers were better in periods one and two. They were unfortunate to be down, right? You make a couple mistakes, Florida takes advantage. But from the third period on, there's no doubt who's been the better team in this series. And it's been the team that's up 2-0. And Edmonton is, you thought maybe they would figure some things out. No, they've got a lot more figuring out to do, Ryan. I don't think going back to Edmonton is going to help them as much as they would like it to. I think they split in Edmonton, and I think we go back to Florida, and I think the Panthers close it out in five.
Okay, so you're changing your
prediction. Games. I mean, listen,
it's fine. Listen, I did the exact same thing earlier today on Bischoff's show. Like, he asked me flat out. I told him, and I didn't have to because I was on Bischoff's show. Like, I don't know how much of a crossover audience there is, but I said initially I picked the Edmonton Oilers in seven games, and I picked Edmonton because I didn't want to be wrong about them. Like, full disclosure, that's what led into my prediction with the Edmonton Oilers. I was wrong about Edmonton and their ability to win a big series against Dallas. I didn't want to do that again. Could Stuart Skinner have gone on an absolute heater? Yeah, he could have. He still could, I suppose, in this series. Like, he didn't really hit his stride in the Western Conference Final until Game 4, but it seems less and less likely now. And having seen now two games, having watched the Panthers systematically dismantle the Edmonton Oilers and shut them down offensively, I'm inclined to believe that this is the Panthers series to lose. It really is. Like, they feel like an inevitable team. In much the same way the Golden Knights last year felt inevitable, right? Like, there was a point, certainly after the Edmonton series, where it just felt like the Golden Knights were inevitable. They were not going to be stopped. It didn't matter who they were playing against. It didn't matter the circumstances of the series that they were in. They were winning the Stanley Cup. And it feels very similar right now with the Florida Panthers. You mentioned it. They have shut the Oilers down over the last four periods of hockey. Like, the Oilers pulled their goalie with 5 minutes and 53 seconds left in the third period, and they didn't get so much as a scoring chance down the stretch.
Without Sasha Barkov in the game, by the way.
Right. And so there's a lot to kind of go into this. I'm with you. Like, if you want to move off of that prediction ahead of this series, I'm fine with that. Like, it really does feel like the Panthers. But let's get to a lot of the main points and the main points of contention out of game two between these two teams, because it got violent. Well, really, it started off violent. There was the knee-on-knee from Sam Bennett to Evan Bouchard, and then there was a knee-on-knee from Warren Fogle to Etu Luostarinen. That resulted in a five-minute major and a game misconduct for Warren Fogle. Let's kind of break those two down. I didn't have any issue with it being a minor on Sam Bennett. I understand why initially you're looking at the hit on Luostarinen and you're saying, okay, that's a five in a game. But I think the more you kind of slow it down, and it's a lot easier for us to do that, to slow it down and kind of go through it piece by piece, bit by bit, I don't know that that was the right call. I think if the Bennett knee-on-knee is a tripping minor, I kind of feel like the Warren Fogle one should be a tripping minor as well.
See, now I'm gonna take the opposite approach in that, because they're both the same penalty, right? But not all penalties are created equal. I don't think there was any intent by Sam Bennett. Like, I think it was two guys who got their, you know, who were going to the same spot at the same time. And yeah, Bennett probably got the better of it in terms of being the one who distributed the hit. But I didn't see any malice in it. I didn't see any nastiness or any intent. And it was the right call. It was a two-minute minor, and as it should have been. I thought the Warren Fogle hit, I thought there was some intent in that. Like, when I watch it and you slow it down, I don't think Lustareinen has the ability to get out of the way. And you look at the way and the impact and the way Lustareinen's leg kind of buckles there. And I know that you can't legislate based on if a guy gets injured or not, but I think when you look at it, you certainly can determine if there's malice or not. And I thought there was some and Warren Fogle's a guy who, he's not a dirty player, but he plays on the edge. Like he's one of those guys who listen, he's almost like Kulikov on the other side, right? Like Kulikov is a guy who plays on the edge. And I think Warren Fogle is a very similar type of player. He's a guy who plays with some aggression in his game. And I thought that it was the right call. I don't think there should be anything more, right? Like I saw some people saying he should be suspended. No, I don't think he should have been suspended for that. Mm-hmm. It was the right call. It was a 5-minute major. I didn't think there should have been a misconduct, but it was a nasty hit. And I think they made the right call there.
Yeah, I don't know that there was intent there. I think that Lustareinen sees Fogle coming and is trying to avoid contact and therefore makes the contact worse. And I think that's what resulted in the injury. So listen, Oilers fans, like, you're not going to like me in a couple of minutes, and that's totally fine. But I'm telling you right now, it probably should have been a 2, not a 5 in a game, and that's kind of where I fall on the Fogle hit. Okay, let's talk about puck over glass, because Kevin Stenlund, he shot the puck out of the rink while he was on the blue line, more or less. Now, he picks up the puck in the defensive zone, right inside the blue line, and as he follows through with his shot, with his stick and the puck break the plane of the blue line into the neutral zone. And it was determined by the referees as they convened and conferenced that that would not be a delay game puck over glass penalty. Dave Jackson, who's the ESPN rules analyst, he former referee in the National Hockey League, like he is stated multiple times that you're talking about breaking the play. As soon as you break the plane, then it becomes a neutral zone situation, not a defensive zone situation, and it's not a penalty. The Oilers were furious. Like, Chris Knobloch has thrown the Buffalo Bills under the bus for no real reason, and then lost kind of that mystique about him of being calm, cool under pressure, because he absolutely lost it when this did not result in a penalty. And I can understand why Chris Knobloch would feel that way, because his team hasn't scored a 5-on-5 goal in 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, you know, and the it was a really strange like situation. And I Edmonton, I understand Knobloch being upset, but like,
yeah,
dude, your team's got to start to generate something, because whatever you're doing, it ain't working, bro. Like, it ain't working. And, I mean, we said this would be the ultimate test of whether or not Chris Knobloch, you know, listen, he may go on to win 5 Stanley Cups, but right now, in this moment, he's being outcoached big time.
Okay, so let's get into the controversy. Leon Draisaitl leaves his feet. Elbow to the head of Sasha Barkov. About 10 minutes or so left in the game. At that point, Barkov goes down, leaves the game, doesn't come back. Not good, obviously, for the Florida Panthers. Draisaitl is given a 2-minute minor penalty for roughing, so not charged as an illegal check to the head, which is what I feel it should have been called. It was not called a 5-minute major and reviewed. It was just given a 2-minute minor after not calling a penalty on the play at all, which was a little bit confusing to me. Were you surprised, I guess, that it wasn't initially called a 5-minute major so that the referees could go and really look into that in terms of replay? And do you believe the right call was made in just assessing a 2-minute minor as opposed to a 5-minute major?
Well, here's my take on that. I for the life of me, do not understand. In a situation where you have the ability to go back and make a correction – if you deem it wrong, how you don't err on the side of 5 minute major. The guy took a blow. He took an elbow to the face.
Yep.
Why are you not calling a major in that situation? Because it's clearly a major penalty. Mm-hmm. The guy leaves his feet and he throws an elbow to the face of another player. Like, there's no debate. So to go out there and call it a minor penalty, not review it, it was, again, it was the wrong call. And when you have the ability, like this is what we need to stress to the referees. Mm-hmm. And I am not the guy who comes on here night in, night out and rips the referees. They have a very, very, very difficult job. The game is unbelievably fast. And when you go to T-Mobile Arena and you sit very close, you really have an appreciation of just how fast the game is.
Not only is it fast, it's easy to miss things.
Absolutely.
If you're not in the perfect spot, like if you have a little bit of obstruction with players, and listen, it's about positioning for the referees. I get that. I do. But you're not always going to be in the perfect position every single time. It's not an easy sport to call because it's fast, but it's easy to miss things too.
Yeah, it's but you have the capability to correct it. Like,
yeah,
call it what it should have been called. And then if you, the guy's clearly injured. Mm-hmm. Like, Sasha Barkov was clearly injured on the play. He didn't just magically get hurt. So you have to err on the side of it being a major. And then you go back and you look at it and you say, all right, well, you know what? Maybe we got this wrong. It's not a major. Had they called it a major, there's no way they're going back and saying, that was a 2 minute minor. Not a big deal.
Okay, so I've seen at least in a couple of spots and even on the text line, the accusation that Sasha Barkov was embellishing the contact that he took from Leon Draisaitl. Here's my main pushback there. It was 10 minutes left in the game. It was a 2-1 game. The Panthers were about to go on the power play, and Barkov never returned. There is no way that Barkov would put this game in jeopardy. There's no way Paul Maurice wouldn't utilize Sasha Barkov if he had him available. He wasn't available because he was hurt on the play. There was an injury that took place on the play that rendered Barkov ineligible in that moment to return to the game. And nobody in their right mind is going to look at their captain, the best two-way forward in the game, and say, you know what? We can go about 9 minutes without him protecting a one-goal lead at the time. Come on. Like, let's be honest about this. Now, Draisaitl, to me, that's a five-minute major. That's game misconduct. I think the refs got that one wrong in the moment. Like, it's not a two-minute penalty. I know that people are making the argument that it's two big guys that go into the corner and it's just a battle and it's run of the mill. He leaves his feet, he leads with the elbow, gets the arms up, and it's directly on the chin. I'm sorry, like, you don't need much more proof than that. It is a check to the head, and it is something that we say, that we claim, that we talk about wanting to eradicate and get out of the game. And so in that situation, it shouldn't matter if it's Leon Draisaitl or if it's Dmitry Kulikov or if it's Kevin Stenland or if it's Evan Rodriguez or if it's David Desharnais. Like, it doesn't matter who the name is if it's a play that should be suspendable in the regular season or a play that's a major in the regular season. It should be a play that is a major here in the postseason when everything matters just a little bit more. We're going to talk about suspension a little bit later on in the show because there will not be any supplemental discipline for Leon Draisaitl. Not a suspension, not a fine. Am I surprised by this? No, not at all. Why? Because Leon Draisaitl's a superstar. And there's no way you're going to suspend a superstar in this situation because that's just the breaks that they get. It's unfortunate. It's wrong. I don't agree with it. But the fact of the matter is, at least if you weren't going to suspend Draisaitl retroactively for the play, you should have gotten the call right initially saying that it was a 5 minute major because it was a major. He should have been kicked out of the game for the rest of the game. That's my take on that play in the context of the 60-minute game that was played.
Yeah, I mean, I know we'll get into it a little bit later, but like the idea that you're not going to punish a guy. You know what? I don't ever want to hear the league, and if you follow some, I won't mention names, but some agents on Twitter, some former players on Twitter, who are very, very vocal about what a joke the league is when it comes to protecting guys' heads and how little the league acknowledges the correlation between CTE and head injuries and hits and all of that. The league simply does not care. It's evident. It's evident that they don't treat this with the seriousness. Listen, you and I are in the locker room. We talk to guys. We've talked to players for 7 years. I've talked to opposing players. We talked to superstars at the awards. The last thing any of us ever want to see happen to one of these guys is them have a serious head injury and suffer from CTE. We've seen star players in the NFL commit suicide because of it. Junior Seau comes to mind. And the fact that it's not just the NHL. No league takes head injuries serious. And they will continue to deny and deny and deny, because if they took it serious, there would be retribution by the league on Leon Draisaitl for that hit. And there would be retribution and listen, I love Jacob Trouba. There would be retribution for some of the hits that he lays on people, because he has a habit of elbows coming up high.
You're right, because you know you'll make the same argument, and the same argument was made earlier on in the postseason when Sam Bennett hit Brad Marchand, right? Like it you didn't get that extra angle, but that extra angle makes it look real bad, super greasy.
Yeah.
But it is a punch to the head. Like that is something that probably in the moment should have been suspendable. And it wasn't. Like, and so your point is valid, but this is what kind of really drives the point home. So the issue with Draisaitl and Barkov happens a little bit later on in the game. Connor McDavid in on a breakaway. Matthew Tkachuk does everything that he possibly can to try to slow McDavid down. He can't lift the stick, so he goes between McDavid's legs to impact the play. No call there, probably should have been. So I'm trying to be as objective and fair about this as possible. The reality of the situation, there were penalties missed on both sides. Like, last night was not a banner night in terms of officiating in the Stanley Cup Final. But then you have the end of the game. 2 minutes left. Dmitry Kulikov, and you knew this was happening. You knew this was coming. Like, the Florida Panthers were going to answer at some point the hit on Sasha Barkov, and it wasn't like a like-for-like situation. Dmitry Kulikov lit up Sam Carrick.
Yeah.
So what does Sam Carrick do? He comes back, and he goes with the can opener, a slash right to the area that you expect a player to go to, I suppose, in this situation. And the only player, Chapman, that gets any supplemental discipline out of last night's game is Sam Carrick for a slash below the belt. Like that, and listen, I'm not sitting here saying that I expected Draisaitl to be suspended, but I expected at a minimum, throw a fine on him. Why would I ask that? Why would I say that? Why want that? Well, because at this point right now, the precedent that has been set in terms of this series moving forward is that you can leave your feet, you can lead with your elbow, you can get your arms up, and you can connect squarely with the face, head, jaw first. It's not going to be a major, and you're not going to get suspended, and you're not going to get fined. Why would anybody not go down that road when a game gets away from you? Or just to send a message?
Well,
puts the players in a bad place, because the precedent could have been sent, or the message could have been sent immediately. You're going to do that, it's five in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, or you're going to do that, if it's not five in a game, you're going to get suspended. And that's not happening. Like, to be honest here, the Draisaitl hit on Barkov is worse, unequivocally worse, than the slash Alex Pietrangelo gave Leon Draisaitl last year. Period. And Pietrangelo got suspended for that.
Yeah, and listen, I never ever want to hear any Oiler fan ever mention Alex Pietrangelo's name again. You have now lost that right to mention his name in terms of what transpired in that series last year, because it's unequivocally worse. You're making contact with the guy's face with your elbow after you've left your feet. I've stood next to Leon Draisaitl. He's a big guy. And I heard Bruce Boudreau today, and I regret watching it because I really like Bruce, but he's wrong. His take was wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, he could not have been more wrong. He said it was two big guys hitting each other. No, it was one big guy leaving his feet and connecting with his forearm or elbow to the chin of another big guy. It was not two big guys hitting each other. It was one big guy taking a cheap shot at another big guy. It wasn't and then the funniest thing was the first reason he said he shouldn't have been suspended, he made the case why he should have been suspended. But
like, to me, and it's an interesting question, and Bischoff asked me this earlier today. I'm going to ask you. We all know that teams are going to take liberties, right? Like, when you're in the playoffs, when you're in the postseason, if a game gets away from you, like it did for the Oilers in game number two, you're going to have that moment where down the stretch you get your pound of flesh. Like, you're going to go out there, you're going to do something stupid, and you're going to try to hurt somebody. There's no way around that. You can't convince me otherwise. Like, Sam Carrick didn't do that to Dmitry Kulikov because he wasn't trying to hurt him. He was trying to hurt him. He was trying to injure him.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other way around it. There's no other way around it. And you can talk yourself into Leon's being a hockey play. Like, if that's what you want to do, by all means, go for it. Fine.
Well, there was plenty of that on social media.
But here's the thing. Like, here's the question. Are the Oilers one of the worst teams when it comes to kind of pushing the envelope when they're losing? In other words, like, do they cross the line more than other teams? Like, the Florida Panthers, they're no stranger to it. If they're losing and the game's gotten away from them, the Florida Panthers, they are going to turn into sore losers. They're going to take runs. They're going to take cheap shots. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm blind to the simple fact that that's who the Panthers are to their core. But the Oilers are every bit as bad in this scenario than the Panthers have been. They can be incredibly dirty when it's not going their way. Are they one of the worst in the league?
Oh, 100%. And here the evidence is last year when they played the Golden Knights in the playoffs in game two, Jay Woodcroft comes strutting into the and anyone in the Vegas media who was there, they know exactly what I'm about to say. He struts into that press conference talking about how big and bad his Edmonton Oilers are and how they're not afraid of anybody and they'll punch people in the mouth and that's the way that they play. Well, yeah, that's fine. But remember that in game three or game four, when somebody takes a run at Leon Draisaitl, or somebody takes a run at Zach Hyman, or somebody takes a run at Evan Bouchard, because it's coming. And the league basically invited it by not disciplining Leon Draisaitl today.
So I don't know if that's the case, because I don't think the Panthers are going to be out of a game. And I think that they are much more disciplined this time around than people are giving them credit for.
Well, I'm gonna put it out there.
I don't know that we're,
because if they win on Thursday night and they go up 3-0 in this series, game four is gonna be a bloodbath. The desperation from the Oilers combined with Florida knowing that they've pretty much got this in the bag, it's gonna be a good one. So at this point, I'm rooting for Florida to go up 3-0.
The Oilers should probably spend more time trying to figure out how to play hockey and win that way. But we'll see if Chris Knobloch can make the right changes as we move forward. Another thing to kind of pull out of game two, Darnell Nurse take a big hit from Evan Rodriguez. only played four shifts the entire game. So Darnell Nurse certainly dealing with something. We've talked about Evander Kane, another ineffective game from Evander Kane. Aside from Leon Draisaitl taking a run at Barkov, like there wasn't much there to like about Draisaitl's game, generally speaking. The only player that was going for the Edmonton Oilers was Connor McDavid. And every time he had the puck, there were five Panthers in front of him. And then there was Sergei Bobrovsky. It was a defensive masterpiece from the Florida Panthers and a big reason why they've got a 2-0 series lead as we shift venues to Edmonton Thursday night for game number three. We'll take a break, come back with more on the VGK Insider Show. Pair of goals for Evan Rodriguez in game two of the Stanley Cup Final. Game winner for Evan Rodriguez as well. He's been excellent. Three goals so far in the series. I don't think Evan Rodriguez would win the Conn Smythe, but if he keeps this up, he's putting his name in the conversation. And then that gives kind of an understanding of the Florida Panthers and how they're built. It is a team that is predicated on depth. It is not one guy. It is everybody on the team kind of pushing in the right direction. And that is a stark contrast to the Edmonton Oilers, who have gotten depth contributions, but really nothing from Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Darnell Nurse. Like, you go on and on and on. Evan Bouchard. It has not been a great start to the series for the Stars of the Edmonton Oilers. We're going to get to some of your reactions on the text line, 702-876-1340. Text line is always open as to whether or not you believe the Department of Player Safety should have suspended Leon Draisaitl. They are not suspending Leon Draisaitl for his hit on Sasha Barkov. The only supplemental discipline that came out of last night's game was Sam Carrick and the low blow slash that he delivered to Dmitry Kulikov. There was even a moment where Aaron Ekblad put Evan Bouchard in a sleeper hold, and that was not penalized. Bouchard tapped out. Like, did you see that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Like, I didn't love that. I didn't love that from Aaron Ekblad. I didn't love that from Evan Bouchard. Like, it was kind of a joke in the moment. Like, there could have honestly been like five or six different fines that were handed out of last night's game. There was only one. No supplemental discipline for Leon Draisaitl. So Chapman, pull up the old text line and give me a couple of your favorite texts so far on this topic.
Well, I like this one because it made me laugh a little bit. But Lizette tweeted in. She says, "Yes, because I don't like him." Joking aside, it was a dirty hit. Petro was suspended for his chop on his hand last year. The Oilers superstars need to be held accountable too. I agree.
Yeah. I do too, in that you can't have a different rule book for different players. You can't have a different standard for different players. Like, and a lot of this conversation about whether or not Leon should or shouldn't be suspended is really irrelevant, considering that consistency in terms of these calls are usually not there. And so, like, I'll go back to And I'll even throw like Leon aside, right? The rule book's pretty cut and dry when it comes to spearing. And we found that out this year because Jack Eichel was ejected from a game for spearing Kirill Kaprizov. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I understand on the surface that you're not going to call spearing on Sam Carrick. You should have. Because that was way more a spear and certainly more a dangerous play than what happened earlier this season with Jack Eichel and Kirill Kaprizov. Jack Eichel gets the automatic five in a game in terms of that call because it was a spear with an injury. And Sam Carrick, and listen, there's 2 minutes left. Like, why am I belaboring the point here? Because you look at that play and you look at the verbiage. It should be black and white, but there's always that gray area that you're going to throw on there where you're going to sit there, and even though you should call it a spear, you're going to call it a slash, and you're going to skirt the issue. Just like with Leon, you're not going to call it an illegal check to the head. You're going to call it roughing, and then it ends up in a situation where he's not suspended or given a five in a game because it's just a roughing minor and not a 5-minute major for a legal check to the head. Like, you can massage the rule book, and it often happens when superstars are involved. I have an issue with that.
Yeah, the rules should not be different. Like, if that's, you know, Brandon Montour, and he does that to Connor McDavid, are we talking about Brandon Montour being suspended today? Because I think we are.
Yeah. Now, counterpoint to that is people will look at game one, Sam Bennett, Connor McDavid, they collide. I saw plenty of mention that if you're not going to call the butt end of Sam Bennett into the face of Connor McDavid, then you cannot suspend Leon Draisaitl for the elbow to the face of Alexander Barkov. I don't view them the same. Like, listen, I get that you don't want to give Sam Bennett the benefit of the doubt, but when you factor in that Bennett and McDavid are like lifetime buddies from the time they were 8 years old, I don't think Sam Bennett, as greasy as he is, I don't think he's out there trying to hurt his best friend. I really don't. I think that was two players that did not see each other until the last minute, and that's all that was. Leon was not in a scenario where he didn't see Sasha Barkov. He lined him up and made the hit.
See, now, to
different
me,
place.
There is a real stark difference between the referees missing a call and a guy going out with the intent to injure. And I think that's where the disconnect is, because the refs miss penalties all the time. It happens. We're not suspending Sam Bennett for an unintentional butt of the stick to the face. You know, like that's not what we're doing here. Leon is a different story, and I like Christopher's text, because he says, at the minimum, he should have received a 5-minute major in game misconduct. And this is the part that I think of, and I think when I saw what happened, this is what goes through my mind. Barkov was frustrating and shutting down the Golden Boy. I cannot know what was in Leon Draisaitl's head, but in my opinion, it was an intentional dirty hit, and he should have been suspended and fined the max. Makes me want to catch the sweep Edmonton. Like, that's the part that's not being talked about here. The fact that when Sasha Barkov is on the ice, that Connor McDavid is he's been neutralized, and it's not any different than when William Karlsson was out on the ice with him last year. He absolutely neutralized whoever was out on the ice for the Oilers. They're big guns, and that's the same thing Sasha Barkov is doing. And you know, I don't think Leon Draisaitl's out there like, hey, this guy's shutting me down, I'm going to go out there and hurt him. But I think Leon Draisaitl knew who he was hitting. And I certainly think there was a lot of frustration in the fact that he's been irrelevant. And guys get...
Yeah, he's got three points in his last 8 playoff games.
Yeah, this is a guy we were talking about winning the Conn Smythe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
And okay, so you mentioned... And Christopher mentioned, and I think it's a great text too, because at minimum, perfect, should have been a 5 and a game. I think had it been a 5 and a game yesterday, I don't think anyone's upset that he's not getting suspended.
No,
like
that's the punishment.
Yeah, if Barkov didn't come back, and he didn't, Draisaitl shouldn't have come back in that game either. Draisaitl shouldn't have been on the ice in a 6-on-5 situation. Draisaitl shouldn't have been on the ice trying to impact and affect the game down the stretch after that hit on Barkov. At a minimum, that should have been it. Because if you do that, at least then you're setting a precedent that if you take a shot to somebody's face, doesn't matter what time in the game, you're not going to play the rest of the night. So that at least puts a little bit of an inhibitor on the players. And then you don't have to suspend. Had it just been called right in the moment, I don't think we're having this discussion, or at least not as big of a discussion as we're having right now. The fact that it was only 2 and no supplemental discipline is wrong by all standards. And given that, it opens the door for more shenanigans to take place the rest of the series, which is just not conducive with player safety.
Yeah, it's got to be something. It can't just be a 2-minute minor. I mean, that's what it's going to turn out to be. But it's got to be more than that. It can't just be a 2 and go on with your day. It either should have been a 5 and a misconduct, and he doesn't come back and play the final 10 minutes of that game, or Mm-hmm. He's suspended today. Like the league screwed up.
What's the likelihood we're talking about another hit like this in this series?
I don't think it's going to be anything like this, because now the league, I think, and the refs will be looking for it. So I think guys will be cognizant of the fact that, you know what, the next time DPS will punish a guy. So I think guys are going to be cognizant of the fact that there's so much outrage, whether you're in Toronto
you can't do that.
But that's,
you can't do that.
They make up the rules as they go along, Ryan. They're going to do whatever they want.
I hear you, but like, let's just say for the sake of argument, and I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if Matthew Tkachuk does this to Connor McDavid and Tkachuk gets fined or suspended, that's ridiculous. Well, you can't do that.
All hell will break loose in the next game.
There's no way you can do that. If you're the league, if it's the exact same play, I'm not sitting here saying that like Tkachuk's going to go out there and headhunt or anything like that, but I'm saying if it is the exact same play, right? Matthew Tkachuk leaves his feet, elbow to the jaw of Connor McDavid, and that is anything but a two-minute minor, then you have serious questions.
Oh, yeah.
Because that can't happen.
You question the integrity of the league at that point.
You have painted yourself into a corner where this exact play always has to be a two-minute minor at most. And that's dangerous.
Yeah, but
it's wrong.
I don't think they follow their own precedent. The league, they just make this stuff up as they go along. And it's ridiculous that this is the conversation. I hope there's not another hit like this, but man, oh man, if there is, and the league comes down hard,
yeah,
there's going to be a lot of people questioning what's going on at DPS.
Mm-hmm. I will say this though, we haven't really seen a meaningful fight in the Stanley Cup Finals since Vinny LeCavalier and Jerome Iginla in 2004. That was the last time there was a fight in any period but the third period of a Stanley Cup final game. Okay? We're on the precipice, I feel like, if McDavid gets mad enough, we might see Tkachuk and McDavid go. And I think that would be a good way to like maybe diffuse things a little bit in this series. But we'll keep an eye on that. And this is the danger. Like, I'm not sitting here trying to rail on Leon Draisaitl. What I'm saying is, if you create this precedent and you don't put that doubt in the player's mind that they cannot go out there and cross the line, they're going to cross the line again, and you cannot retroactively or in this moment change the precedent. You can't, because then you open yourself up to scrutiny and everyone's going to ask questions. That's why this is such a big deal. That's why we're spending so much time on it. And that's why it matters and is important beyond just game two and beyond the rest of this series. Take a break. Come back and set up hour number two next on the VGK Insider Show. I'm really excited for hour number two. Great observations coming out of game
Great
two of the Stanley Cup Final. Thanks, Leon. A 4-1 victory for the Florida Panthers. They have outscored the Oilers 7-1 through two games in Sunrise, but no worries. The series will shift to Edmonton for game three on Thursday, and in one-timers, we'll find out from Connor McDavid why this is a good thing. Seriously, we'll find out why this is a good thing. All that's coming up next on hour number two of the VGK Insider Show.